I guess I'm not wired up there. You want to turn in your Bibles to the scripture passage of today. It's John 12, and we'll be reading verses 37 through 50. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason they could not believe. For Isaiah again said, "He has blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes, and receive with their heart, and be converted, and I heal them." These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory, and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. And Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at that last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me."
Well, good morning. During the song, I seem to have lost my voice. I was maybe singing too loud. I don't know. So we will see how well this goes. Luckily, we have amplification. Quickly, just a word about this opportunity you have to attend the Big Change Seminar here this Saturday. To go to a seminar like this, just for one day, just the registration fee, a seminar like this will run you anywhere between $70 and $270, depending on the conference. This one, I believe that to be there in person, it's about $175. You can come and attend this seminar for free. It's paid for. And you can come and benefit from the teachings of these people who will be doing this seminar on the 20th. Now, again, this only does you any good if you come and see it. We've purchased these seminars from CCN. We will be using some parts of some of these this summer, but trust me, we will not be using all of the material, and there's so much because we just won't even have time over the summer Sunday school time to share all of what's going to be happening in these different conferences that we're having. But I would encourage you, even if you can't come for the whole day, if you can come for just a part of it, you'd find it beneficial and enjoyable. And it would not be a waste of your time. So I would encourage you, if you have any time at all this Saturday, come and spend part of it at this video seminar. Okay. Moving on to our scripture passage. Again, we'll be, I had asked Ed to read it for us. We're going to be looking at these verses this morning. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing and leading at this time. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, I just ask right now you would give me the voice I need in order to preach your word. Father, let your anointing and empowerment be upon me. That as I speak, I be your word which is spoken. Lord, I pray that you would reveal the truth of your heart in these words to us this day, Lord. That you would send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures and give us that supernatural understanding that is more than just the reasoning of man, but is indeed the truth of God. So, Lord, be with us now. Lead us as we worship you through the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you have probably heard this story before, and if you have, bear with me. I don't know if this is a real or an apocryphal story. That is a false story that somebody made up just to make a point. But before the Iron Curtain fell, before Russia broke up into several countries, it was the Soviet Union. And religion, Christianity, really wasn't promoted. It was only tolerated in its state-approved form. And even then, to be a member of the church was to put yourself outside of the party, political party, and put you under certain restrictions. But the church still met. And one Sunday morning, as one church was meeting in secret, but yet it was a large group of about 200 that were gathered, trying to meet quietly under the radar, a bunch of masked gunmen broke in just at the very beginning of the service. And they said, "All of you who are not ready to die for your faith, leave." And all about except 20 people got up and left. The masked gunmen then took off their masks and said, "Go ahead, Pastor, the hypocrites are gone." Kind of what we see in this passage here today. Jesus tells us that when we look at Him, we see the Father. And He tells us about we're told about these people. We're going to have to do something about this. There were people, leaders in the temple, who believed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the one sent from the Father, so that when they see Jesus, they're seeing God in the flesh. They believed what He was teaching. They believed that He was who He said He was. But yet, He tells us that they loved praise and they loved being in the temple and part of the synagogue and part of the rulers more than they loved God. You know what that means? That means that their belief wasn't the belief that was one that comes to salvation. It was no more than the same belief that Satan has when he looked upon Jesus, and the demons had when they looked upon Jesus, and they said, oh, it's the Messiah, it's the Christ. When demons looked at Jesus, they knew who he was. They believed. But they didn't love him. Romans chapter 10. I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 12. No, not 12. 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved. People, when we see Jesus, we see God. He tells us the words he speaks are the very words of God. He speaks only that which the Father told him to speak. He taught only that which the Father said, teach. And we need to do more than just believe with our hearts. We need to confess with our mouths that belief. Now these people, these leaders in the temple, they had later opportunity to confess with their mouth that indeed Jesus was Lord. Luckily, he gives us that opportunity right up until our very last breath. But what about those who can't talk? I believe that as long as our intent is to confess, it's our heart that God is interested in. Shelley can't talk. But she confesses that Jesus is her Lord and Savior. You can communicate where he is in your life. Is he just a belief? And is your love for him that which is first and primary? Or is it behind? I talk to a lot of people to counsel them about different issues. And one of the things I stress is that your relationship with God has to be your number one relationship. Your love for God has to be first. Because if you put anything else first, that's what it is that you worship. What's first in your life is what you are worshiping. Donna is not first in my life. She's number two. Who's first? Jesus. He has to be. I can't love Donna right without loving Jesus first. Our relationship, if it was based solely upon our love for each other, might well have been broken by now, but it's not. It's also based upon our love for the Lord. So it's hung in there. It's solid. I'm told that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. That's what that means. Our Lord Jesus, he said, cry out, he said, when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When we love the one, we don't just love him, but we love the one who sent him. We can carry it to that point. When we love Jesus, we love God. They are the same. But our love for him needs to be greater than something else, anything else. And we need to confess it, profess it, live it. Again, the question could be phrased this way. If you were put on trial for your faith, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If I was put on trial for my love for Donna, there's enough evidence to convict me. How many of you here have seen me hug my wife? A couple of you. A couple of you have seen me. In fact, I've had comments like, go get a room. Peggy. But it's more than that. But there is enough there that if somebody asked around, they said, well, does Bruce love Donna? The answer is, yeah, there's enough evidence. And I do believe there's enough evidence out there that if I said, does Bruce love Jesus, that I would be convicted of it. Each one of us needs to make sure that there's that evidence in our life. Because, again, that belief that Jesus is who he is isn't enough. It has to be a belief and confession. It has to be a belief that leads to action of placing him first in our lives. Just this intellectual understanding that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God doesn't do it. It's when we place him first in our hearts and receive him as Lord and Savior. That's what does it. And when somebody is first in your heart, when you love somebody so much, you can't help but confess and profess it. When I first started going out with Donna, my parents couldn't shut me up about her. Still can't. When I first came to the point where I put Jesus first in my heart, he couldn't shut me up about him. I need to keep him there. I need to put him there. I need to keep him there. You need to put him there, and you need to keep him there. First and foremost. It's one of the dangers that we read in Revelation of losing your first love. Don't be the church. Don't be the people that lose your first love. But put that first love up first. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Now jumping forward to chapter 13, verse 34, it reads, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You ask, how can I put Christ first in my life? That's how, loving one another. How do you keep him there? By loving one another. Remember your first love and profess it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have given us your son an example of how to live for you. Father, we thank you that you have given us one another, that we can show our love for you by loving each other. Lord, help us to look at one another and see you. See how you would have us to treat one another. Lord, help us to read your word and hear your voice. Lord, we do thank you that salvation is not dependent upon our works, our living a perfect life, because you did that for us. But Lord, help us to do that which our salvation is dependent upon. That is believing upon you as Lord and Savior and professing and confessing you as Lord and Savior. Yes, with our lips, but also with the actions of our hearts and hands. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your blessings. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to those around us. Help us to confess you as Lord and Savior each and every day, so that none could say that we love praise from man more than we loved praise from God. Lord, turn our hearts towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.